where did you get the idea that if you follow Jesus, you can expect a life that is free from failure, disappointment, and loss? Where did you get that idea? Did your Lord not say precisely the opposite?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, unfortunately, I think there are far too many people who might answer that question. Christian TV, televangelists.
Well, perhaps that would be the case. Certainly not from Jesus. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble.
Yeah.
So that kind of cuts into false idealism, you know, perfectionism.
Sure.
Everything that I should be. You know, we're not in heaven yet. The church is not what the church one day will be. None of us as Christians are yet where we one day will be. We're always dependent on grace in this world, and we always face one degree of trouble or another. It never quite goes away, and yet in Jesus Christ we are blessed. So we've got to learn to live with this tension of the realities of this life and yet the sufficiency of Jesus Christ to face the realities of this life. And of course, the way that we get that is by coming back to the scripture and looking at what he's told us to expect and leaning in what he's promised us.
Well, let's do just that today. We are in John chapter 14, so I hope you open your Bible. Join us there as we continue a message, Jesus will take you to be with himself. Here is Pastor Colin.
We're going to look at the promise of Jesus' return today, and I want us to see three things. First, that Jesus confronts us with the reality of life in this world. Second, that Jesus establishes our hope, not here in this world, but in another world. And third, that Jesus calls us to faith in himself. Well, let's begin then with Jesus confronts us with the reality of life. And I want us to see what was happening just before Jesus spoke these words in John 14. You know that folks who are cynical about Christianity often make the accusation that Christianity is just a crutch for weak people. You know, if you can't really face the realities of life, then religion will give you something that you can lean on. In fact, true Christianity is entirely the opposite. If you follow Christ, he will confront you with the truth about yourself, about other people, and about the world in which you live. He will confront you with truth that most people spend a large part of their lives avoiding. Now, that's the first thing that's very important for us to grasp. Here's the second. As Jesus confronts them with the reality of life, the reality of our life, he establishes their hope and our hope in another world. Now, what is Jesus going to say to us about living in this world of failure and disappointment and loss? Well, let's take it up in John chapter 14 in these familiar words. Jesus has confronted them with the reality. Now, what will he say about it? He says this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." Now, look at what he says. "In my Father's house are many rooms." Now, folks, this is astonishing. Jesus has been talking about the realities of our life and experience in this world, and he calls us to trust him in regard to a promise that relates to another world. Do you see that? When Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," he's not saying, "Look, do not let your hearts be troubled because I will make this world a better place for you." He's not saying, "You will see that over millennia, as education improves and health improves and longevity improves, you will find people grow out of this experience of failure and disappointment and loss." He's not saying that. He's not saying, as you become a more mature Christian, if you pray more, if you grow in your sanctification, if you gain a deeper knowledge of the Bible, that your experience of failure and of disappointment and loss will somehow recede. He's not saying that. This fallen world will always be what it is, the fallen world. And with all of its blessings and with all of its joys, our experience of life in this world is scarred. It is scarred with failure, it is scarred with disappointment, and it is scarred with loss. And so Jesus, confronting us with that reality, establishes our hope, not in this world, but in another world. That is telling us very clearly that sin and disappointment and loss are woven into the fabric of life in this world, and any attempt to suggest that somehow we can move beyond them is naive at the best and deceptive at the worst. Now, grasping this truth will bring stability to your faith, and this is why it is so important. See, my burden today is that some Christians really are thrown too easily into confusion. They feel that they, having faith in Christ, somehow they should be insulated from failure, insulated from disappointment, and insulated from loss. And so when a crisis comes, either in their own lives or in the wider world, they lose their moorings. They're adrift. The foundations of their faith seem to be completely shaken. They lose themselves immediately in questioning, you know, how could God possibly allow this to happen? Now, if that's you, if that's the pattern of your life, that you're always being cut adrift whenever something goes wrong in your life or something goes wrong in the world, let me try and help you. Where did you get the idea that if you follow Jesus, you can expect a life that is free from failure, disappointment, and loss? Where did you get that idea? Did your Lord not say precisely the opposite? Did your Lord not say there will be wars and rumors of wars? Did he not say that? Did he not say there will be earthquakes? Did he not say there will be calamities? Did he not say to his own disciples, that is to us who follow him, trust him? Did he not say to his own disciples, in this world you will have trouble? That's John 16:33. Did he not say that? See, Jesus confronts his disciples. He confronts us with the realities of life. He says, in this world, you who trust me, you who love me, you who follow me, you will have trouble. Please understand this. And so he establishes our hope, not in this world, but in another world. Now, that is critical to the stability of your faith. See, if your hope is established in this world, you will be shattered by failure and disappointment and loss. If your hope is in this world, what will you do when you experience a loss that can never be replaced in this life? If your hope is in this world, what will you do when you experience a disappointment that lasts a lifetime? If your hope is in this world, what will you do when you hit a failure that changes long-term the course of your life? Now, you see, Jesus is establishing his disciples in this critical moment in a faith that can endure through the misery of personal failure, a faith that can survive the gut-wrenching pain of disappointment, a faith that will be able to stand through the experience of an irreplaceable loss. And to do that, there's only one way in which that can be established. That faith has to be established in a hope that is not in this world, but is in a world to come. And that is core to the gospel. That is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, he says, if we have only hoped in Jesus Christ for this life, then we are more to be pitied than all men. And he goes on to say, here's our hope that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Our hope is that he is the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. So as Jesus confronts us now with the painful realities of life in this world, unavoidable in every culture, whether you are a Christian or whether you're not a Christian, it's the universal experience of life. In this world, you will have trouble. You will experience your own failure. You will be disappointed with other people, and you will experience loss. That's what it's like in this world. Now, Jesus says, your hope therefore must be established not in this world, but in another world. And Jesus' answer to our experience of failure, disappointment, and loss lies in the Father's house. That is what we learn from these words in John 14. And if you're struggling with that, you maybe say, yeah, but don't we have the Holy Spirit now? Isn't that what we were saying last week? Yes, praise God, we do. But remember that the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. As mortgage language, a deposit, what's to come. Paul says the Holy Spirit is the deposit. In other words, everything that you know of Jesus right now, all your joy in him, all the sanctification of the Holy Spirit is a small beginning, a down payment of what will be yours in the presence of Christ with unclouded joy for all eternity. Your hope is established in another world. Therefore, I have to see my life in this world as a journey. I am a pilgrim. I do not belong here in a permanent way. My life is hidden with Christ in God, and what happens to me here, including the failure and the disappointment and the loss, is the stuff in which God works preparing me for the Father's house.
Isn't it helpful to be reminded of that? Even the loss and the failure that we experience in this life is something that God will use to prepare us for life in the Father's house. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Jesus Will Take You to Be With Himself. And what a great reminder of that truth today. If you want to go back and listen to this message again, you can do that by coming to our website, openthebible.org. Our message is part of a larger series called Rock Solid, 7 Promises That Christ Makes to You. And you can get a copy of this entire series on CD. Ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. If you happen to join us a little bit late, we're in the book of John, looking at chapter 14 today as we continue the message, Jesus Will Take You to Be With Himself. Here's Pastor Colin.
So Jesus confronts us with the realities of life. Isn't it good that in real Christian faith there's absolutely no escapism? And Jesus establishes our hope not here but in another world. Isn't it good that in real Christian faith there's no naive optimism, no sentimentality, no fluff? Jesus talks reality to establish his disciples in a faith that will stand in everything that life will throw at them. And then here's the last thing. Jesus calls us to faith in himself. And for that reason, whatever the difficulties and the pressures we face in this world, whatever our own failures, whatever our disappointment or loss, there is no reason to despair. Christ calls us to faith in himself. I try to picture Jesus walking with the disciples. And he's confronted them with these realities of their failure. It's all that disappointment with Judas. And now he said, I'm only going to be with you just a few more hours. And then must he not have turned to them? And I picture the piercing eyes of Jesus as best I can, looking into the very souls of these men and saying, now, do not let your heart be troubled. You trust in God. You trust me. You trust me. He's calling them to faith. And in particular, he calls them to faith in this. He says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. And of course, he's talking about heaven, from where he came and to where he would shortly return. And he says to them, now you trust me here, there is room for you there. There's room for you there. And I just love the fact that when Jesus speaks about heaven, the image he chooses to convey its wonderful reality to us is he talks about it as home, the Father's house. He's saying to his disciples, now you trust me. You'll be more at home in my Father's house than you have been at any place in your life or any other time in your life. And then the Lord Jesus says this. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Now please, Don't have in your mind the idea that Jesus is somehow working around the clock to try and get heaven ready in time for us to go there. That's not what he's saying here. You know when you have guests, you know, if you have a room that has to be made ready for a guest, is it like this in your home, the last minute, oh, we better get it all tidied up, get it organized because they're coming, when are they coming? That is not how the Lord Jesus is preparing heaven. Listen, he creates the cosmos with a word. He can get heaven ready for believers in a single command. So someone said to me last night, I've heard preaching about how Jesus was a carpenter and he's been doing all this carpentry for 2,000 years in order to get... I said, forget that. Listen, the Son of God's not struggling to make heaven ready for you. What's he saying? When he says, I go to prepare a place for you, it means that through his going, the place is prepared. And where is he going? He's going to the cross. He's going to the grave. He's going to die. He is going to rise. He is going to ascend to the right hand of the Father. And what he's saying is this, through his dying and through his rising and through his ascending, he opens the way for the disciples into glory. That's how the place is prepared. That's why he says, don't you be troubled. I'm going from you now, but I'm going into death and through death, and I'm going to come out of death. And in this way, heaven will be open to you. It's marvelous. I was thinking about this after watching the Super Bowl last Sunday. Boy, that was a good game, wasn't it? Now, my imagination, come with me on this. You imagine yourself on the field in the Super Bowl, and amazingly, the ball comes over and it's in your hand. And for one moment, right there in the Super Bowl, 30 yards in front of you, you see the goal line and all the crowd are cheering and the glory of it all. And you begin to move. And as you move, there in front of you are these defensive linemen, huge guys. And they're looking right at you. And you read the names on their helmets in that moment. One of them's called Law. Another one's called Sin. Another one's called Death. And behind them, there's another one bigger and meaner and uglier than them all. Satan himself. And you look at them and you glimpse the glory that's beyond. And you know that there is no way past these guys for you. They stand between you and the goal, and you know that they will flatten you before you ever have a chance to get there. But now an offensive lineman comes at great speed towards them. They are looking to take you out, and he takes them out, opening your way to the goal. Folks, that is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. When he says, I go to prepare a place for you, he's talking about heaven being opened through his death and resurrection. He's talking about the flattening of the condemnation of the law and of your sin and death and Satan himself, so that the way is open for you to enter into the glory of the Father's house. That is what he's saying. And then he says this, and if I go to prepare a place for you, and that he has done, I will come back and take you to be with me. I love that word, take you. Jesus Christ will take all his people into the Father's house. There's no other way into the Father's house except that Jesus Christ, who died and rose, should take you there. And he gives you his word on this. He says, as I go to die and rise for you, I will take you. I will come back and I will take you into the Father's house. And he will do this for you in one of two ways. If you die before Christ comes, he will take you into the Father's house without the body. Oh, some of us will be here perhaps and we'll have a service and your body may be brought in a casket here, maybe buried in the ground, but you will not be here. You will be absent from the body and you will be present with the Lord because Jesus Christ has taken you there. And if you live until Christ comes, then he will take you into the Father's house in the body. You will be caught up to meet with him in the air, and then your body will be transformed in a moment, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, to become like his resurrection body, adapted and prepared for all eternity. But either way, it will be Christ who takes you into the Father's house. And I end simply by reading this description of what that day will be like from 1 Thessalonians, words that many of you know well. But it's just fascinating to me that Paul says there, according to the Lord's own word, we say. And it's discussed much, you know, well, what word of Jesus did Paul have in mind when he writes about the second coming of the Lord? I think he's got to be talking about John 14, hasn't he? According to the Lord's own word, when he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come back, and I will take you to be with me, that where I am, you may be also. And Paul says, according to the Lord Jesus' own word, we tell you this, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ, that's those who have already gone to be with him, will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. And then he says, so encourage one another with these words.
What an encouraging way to wrap up today's program here on Open the Bible. You're listening to Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Jesus Will Take You to Be With Himself. And I love that picture of Jesus coming along like that offensive lineman and clearing the way for us to go to heaven. Just knocking out, taking out law and sin and death. And maybe as you've been listening to today's program, you realize that you don't know Jesus in the way that Pastor Colin's been talking about, but you'd like to find out more about that. Well, I want to encourage you to contact us here on Open the Bible. You can do that by visiting our website, openthebible.org. You can click on the contact link and ask about how you can know Jesus. Or even better, call and talk to one of our staff members. Our toll-free number is 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Today's message, Jesus Will Take You to Be With Himself, is part of a larger series called Rock Solid. We're looking at seven promises that Christ makes to you. And if you miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Well, if you're a regular listener to Open the Bible, you know that we depend on your financial generosity to keep Pastor Colin's teaching available on the station each day. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you two copies of Pastor Colin's new illustrated book called Christmas Stories. One copy for you, one to give away. And it tells the story of the birth of Christ from the perspective of five different Bible characters, from the angel Gabriel, Mary, Joseph, Simeon, even King Herod. And Colin, what is one thing that you would like people to take away from reading this book?
Well, I really hope and pray that when people read this, they will just have a fresh sense of wonder at what it meant for God to become a man in Christ Jesus, for the Lord Jesus to be born into the world and to become our Savior. It is indeed the greatest story ever told, and for it to be fresh and to be seen in its wonder is just a marvelous thing. But then I hope that having read it, people will take the opportunity to perhaps read one of these chapters at the dinner table at Christmas or at some other Christmas event where loved ones are gathered together. And you could just take this little book out, Christmas Stories, and you could say, let's take 5 minutes before we eat to read the Christmas story, or perhaps after the meal would be a good time to do it. It'll only take about 5 minutes at the most to read this, but it's a way of presenting to people you know and love who may be in your home and celebrating Christmas with you the good news of Jesus Christ so that eyes may be directed to him.
Well, we want to send you two copies of this book, Christmas Stories, as our way of saying thank you for giving a gift to Open the Bible this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. Again, the website is openthebible.org and our phone number is 877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Everyone has questions about heaven, but the question that matters most is, how do you get there? Many people have the idea that if a person was to get into heaven, they'd get there by living a good enough life. Well, the thief on the cross hadn't lived a good enough life, and he wasn't in a position to start living a good life. But Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Well, if the thief could get into heaven, so can you. Heaven, How I Got Here is a compelling 60-minute film in which Stephen Baldwin portrays the thief on the cross in a one-person play. Many have found that this story opens their eyes to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the hope of heaven. You can watch the Heaven, How I Got Here film for free on the Open the Bible website. For more information, visit openthebible.org/heaven. That's openthebible.org/heaven.